at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you, what more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore they work all day, out in the sun they slave away, while we devoting full time to floating under the sea.
This is Marooned, a Starkid Atlantis fic written by Tora Kowalski, read by Raina Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, pairing John Rodney. Notes for the B-movie Ficathon Challenge. My prompt, Attack of the Crab Monsters. This fic required effort. I had to, like, research stuff, and my Dorling Kindersley Children's Illustrated Encyclopedia was invaluable. Huge thanks to JND for beta. Any bits that don't suck are due to her. Rodney didn't like MJ75HU from the moment they stepped through the gate. Up until that point, he'd been prepared to like it very much. Taylor had said, casually, after Rodney had been asking her for nearly 2 years, that the inhabitants grew a bean very like Java, which produced a drink very like coffee. It was possible, although he'd deny it to his dying day, and please God don't let that be today, that he'd skipped through the gate. On the other side of the wormhole, things were not quite as he has expected. Instead of the rolling hills of lush green grass that Taylor had promised them, there was one small island, about 10 feet across, surrounded by what looked like a whole planet of ocean. And instead of friendly natives brandishing hot mugs of real coffee, there were crabs. Giant crabs. Lots and lots of them. So far, they'd kept their distance, probably frightened by the wormhole, scuttling a little way out of the water, then darting back in to disappear under the waves. Of all the ways to die in Pegasus, Rodney had not yet considered death by crab. It was now somewhere near the top of his list. Elizabeth? Shepard was saying into his comm. I think we might have to cross this one off our go-to list. We'll be dialing back in now. He turned to Rodney. McKay, dial us out of here. I'd love to, Colonel, Rodney said. He automatically took a step back when one of the crabs... And God, they were big, easily 5 feet from evil-looking pincer to evil-looking pincer, came within the truce line they'd so far maintained. He bumped into Ronan, who for once just studied him and didn't snarl. But the DHD is slightly... not here. What? Shepard swung around, P90 still clenched in his hands. Rodney held out his arms and indicated the small expanse of nothing they were standing on. Shepard went pale. Elizabeth? Shepard's voice was calm and slow, like it got when he was considering being freaked out. We're trapped. How quick do you reckon the Daedalus can get here? 2 hours later, they were still there, stuck on a 10x10 island made entirely of mud. Really disgusting, slimy mud. In the middle of an ocean full of crabs of as-yet-undetermined temperament. Shepard sat down beside him and bumped their shoulders together. Cheer up, Rodney. It could be worse. Rodney didn't even bother to reply. He just stared moodily out toward the water's edge, where Ronan and one of the crabs seemed to be involved in a riveting game of chicken. Caldwell will be here in another 5 hours. Even you can't die of hunger in that time. Shepard's smile was hopeful, and he fluttered his eyelashes in a truly ludicrous way. Rodney had to work not to laugh. No, he said, but we can all die of being eaten by giant crabs, not to mention the tides rising. At a rate of 11 inches per half hour, not that Rodney was keeping note. Huh. Shepard's smile faded, and he scratched the back of his neck. I kind of hoped you hadn't noticed that. Rodney rolled his eyes and gave him his, hello, genius here, look. Shepard had seen it so many times, he should be able to recognize it. If it stays constant, we'll still be fine till Caldwell gets here. As long as we're not eaten, Rodney murmured. Shepard grinned and tipped his head in acknowledgement. As long as we're not eaten. He squeezed Rodney's shoulders, then got up and went to tell Ronan to stop annoying the natives, even if they were crabs. 4 hours later, it was pretty damn clear that the rate the tide was rising was not going to remain constant. The water lapping within a foot of Rodney's boots as he sat with his back pressed to the gate was not his first clue, but it was a pretty damn good one. "Colonel," Taylor said, turning toward them from the other side of the ring. "Yeah, Taylor?" Shepard shuffled sideways so he could see her. His fingers brushed Rodney's knee when he turned around. "I believe something may be about to happen. The crabs are retreating." Rodney looked toward their side of the island, and sure enough, every crab, and had he mentioned there were a lot, had disappeared into the water. "This is probably a bad sign, isn't it? Let's take this as a bad sign." "Don't worry, McKay. It's probably time for their favorite TV show, or..." Shepard broke off as the island they were marooned on suddenly shifted. And Rodney was no geologist, but he was pretty certain islands weren't meant to do that. He said, when the island, the suddenly moving island, had settled down again. "Yeah." Shepard slowly loosened his hand from where he'd clutched the gate. "We can take it as a bad sign." The island lurched again, this time with a sickeningly slow roll, and Rodney thought that this would be really shitty time to rediscover his childhood motion sickness. "Fuck," Shepard said succinctly, and when Rodney forced his eyes open, he saw Shepard looking as green as he felt. "Yeah, well... Rodney realized he was clutching Shepard's arm and forced himself to let go. "Let's hope that doesn't happen again. I didn't enjoy my breakfast that much the first time. I have no desire to get reacquainted with it." "Rodney," Shepard said urgently, "where are Taylor and Ronan?" Shepard's face was pale and set, and it took Rodney a beat to tear his eyes away. He looked around their bit of island and saw nothing. The gate still stood, erect and tall, but now listing somewhat from where the land had settled back unevenly. Shepard stood beside him. A couple of crabs were lumbering, slow and uneven, probably confused by the earthquake, on the other side. And that was it. No Ronan, and no Taylor. "Oh, God!" And Rodney had said it so many times on so many different planets, but this was the only time he'd ever truly believed it. "We're going to die." Rodney had met John Shepard nearly 2 years ago. 10 months ago, they'd started having sex. He'd never been deluded enough to imagine he knew him, but he had at least thought he knew all of Shepard's expressions. He'd never seen this one before. Shepard looked stunned, shattered. He was staring at the empty expanse of mud where, 2 minutes previously, the other half of their team had been standing. He looked as if he couldn't quite believe it had happened, and Rodney didn't blame him. He'd always expected Ronan and Taylor to go down like the fierce warriors they were, to die in the middle of some bloody battle, not on the set of some bad B-movie. Rodney shuffled the extra half-step he needed to press himself against Shepard's side. "Colonel?" Caught in the silver light bouncing off the water, the pale, almost white light from the sun directly above them, Shepard was pale, his eyes glittering and dark. Sometimes, late at night, when Shepard had squeezed his shoulder, pressed a dry kiss to his cheek, and left, in that time of night when little problems became big and Atlantis's problems made him want to scream, Rodney had driven himself crazy thinking about Shepard dying. He'd never thought he'd be there to see it. The ground moved again, and they grabbed at each other. Rodney made a decision. "John," he said, at the exact moment that Shepard said, "Rodney." And maybe it was just that this was the first time Rodney had ever said "John" outside of the bedroom. But Shepard paused, and Rodney took the chance, his last chance, to speak. "I need to tell you something." But Shepard interrupted him, which was something Shepard never did because Shepard was a gentleman and mannered, and a million things Rodney had never had the time to learn how to be. Things he'd never wanted to be and never thought he'd find attractive. Except he did. He really did. "There's something you should probably know." "Colonel, I'm trying to..." "God damn it, Rodney, I need to tell you that I like you, okay? I really like you." Rodney stopped, startled, taking a moment to check that he hadn't been the one to say it, but no, Shepard was looking at him, slight flush stark against his still pale cheeks. Oh. Then. Oh! Then. I thought it was just a buddy fuck. Shepard's tongue flicked his lips and he rubbed the back of his neck. He looked incredibly embarrassed for someone making a deathbed confession. Not for me. Oh. Rodney swelled. Me neither. They stared at each other, and despite the water now licking the toes of his boots, and the now near-constant tremor of the ground under their feet, Rodney felt himself smile. Shepard was grinning, and the smile came closer than Rodney had ever seen to reaching his eyes. Just then, a particularly vicious tremor broke up their sickly harlequin moment, and Rodney lurched into Shepard's personal space. Whoa! Shepard squeezed his arms as he caught him. He glanced up, then turned back to Rodney. Come on, up here. Shepard climbed into the central ring of the gate, feet positioned over two of the chevrons needed to dial home. Rodney wondered if that was coincidence. He accepted Shepard's hand and clambered up beside him, pleased when Shepard didn't let go of his hand. Shepard leaned around Rodney, bracing a hand along the inner wall, effectively trapping Rodney between himself and the Stargate. This wasn't exactly how Rodney had pictured his death, but he couldn't help admire the poetry of dying surrounded by the Stargate and by Shepard. Not that he was going to die here. They'd probably be washed into the water, and Rodney knew, because he'd looked it up, because fate was a bitch and seemed determined to make him die by drowning, that it takes the average man 60 seconds to drown. Not that Rodney was average, but in death even he was equal. Rodney, Shepard said, leaning forward so his words puffed across Rodney's lips. Stop freaking out. Stop freaking out? Rodney demanded, but only half-heartedly, because Shepard's lips were close enough that he could feel their heat. We're about to die. I think this is an excellent time to freak out. Nope, Shepard said, and damn him, he was still smirking. I can think of better things to do. Rodney had kissed Shepard 1,000 times, but always on the way to something else, and never like this. In bed, in the dark, Shepard's kisses were desperate and messy. He bit at Rodney's mouth and his tongue was never still. His kisses could get Rodney from zero to hard in 0.3 seconds, but they were always sex. This was different. Shepard kissed him slowly and meticulously, cataloging every inch of Rodney's mouth, lips parted and gentle, tongue slick and slow. Rodney whimpered and squeezed Shepard's hand. After what felt like eternity, but couldn't be because they were still alive, Shepard drew back. He smiled into Rodney's eyes for a moment, then suddenly his eyes flicked over Rodney's shoulder and widened. Taylor, he said hoarsely. What? Rodney turned around awkwardly and saw. Taylor. Oh, God. Taylor stepped out of the waves, like Aphrodite or the Little Mermaid at the end of the Disney version. Beads of water rolling down her tanned arms and legs, reflecting light like diamonds. Taylor, Rodney choked. What the hell? Colonel Shepard, Dr. McKay, she said quickly. I don't have time to explain, but you must step into the water. Like hell, Rodney exclaimed. Beside him, Shepard just looked stunned. Dr. McKay, please, you need to trust me. It appears that every few centuries this planet experiences a process of flooding and land realignment, which is what gives them their fertile soils and lush harvests. Knowing this, the ancestors erected a defense, like the shield they found on M7G-677, the planet with all the children, but somewhat different. This defense turns all who succumb to the floods into a species that survived the water. Once the flood has subsided, they are returned to human and the population survives. It is quite ingenious, do you not think? It's... Rodney tried a few words out. None of them seemed to convey the exact level of stupidity he was aiming for. Preposterous! And yet, Dr. McKay, she said serenely, with the kind of smile that told him he was pissing her off. If it were not true, then Ronan and I would be dead. Where is Ronan? Shepard asked, speaking for the first time. His hand was still in Rodney's, and Rodney gave it a squeeze. Shepard was still disturbingly pale. I believe he is having fun, Taylor smiled, and inclined her head to where two crabs could be seen a little way out. One had a pale brown shell decorated in ropey patterns that could once have been dreads. The two seemed to be trying to drown each other, but then, Rodney mused, that probably would be fun for Ronan. So, you're saying if we go into the water, we turn into crabs? Shepard asked. Yes, the experience is a little strange, but not unpleasant. Hang on! Rodney's scientific brain was aching. If those, he shuddered, crabs are actually people, why were you able to turn your back into yourself, but they're not? They are, she said. The decision to change back appears to be mentally controlled. However, during the flood, food and shelter is only available to them in their present form. It is seen as taboo in their culture to take on the human form during the flood.
Right. Well, I guess it's better than drowning. Shepard sounded like he wasn't entirely sure on that point.
Rodney?
What? Oh, no, no way. Yes, it's better than drowning, but no way am I voluntarily going in there. Because water. And knowing Rodney's luck and Fate's twisted sense of humor, the transformation wouldn't work on him.
There was a groaning sound as the earth moved again, and the gate lurched downward, leaving them less than a foot above the foam.
I don't think we're going to have much choice, Shepard said. Okay, Rodney, on three.
He ran his thumb over the back of Rodney's knuckles, completely distracting Rodney as he said,
One.
Two.
Their eyes met and Rodney took a deep breath.
Colonel Shepard?
Rodney jumped, almost ending up in the water. Shepard's arms around his waist steadied him even as he hit the calm.
Colonel Caldwell, good to hear you, sir.
You ready to be picked up?
That'd be good, sir.
Rodney sighed against Shepard, felt him press a smile into his hair.
There was a pause, then, I'm only reading three human life signs, Colonel.
Yeah, working on that, sir.
He turned to Taylor. See if you can get Ronan to stop playing with his buddy, would you?
She smiled and nodded and dropped down into the water. Rodney blinked at where she had been until he saw a crab, red-brown and graceful, running across the muddy bottom of the lake that had once been their island.
That's, freaky.
Shepard could only nod.
2 minutes later, when the Stargate was about half an inch off the water and Rodney was reassessing his die versus turn into a giant crab priorities, there were two splashes, one considerably less graceful than the other, and Ronan and Taylor rose out of the water, climbing up onto the gate beside them. Ronan's elbow dug painfully into Rodney's back.
Hey, watch it, crab boy, he muttered.
Ronan growled and Shepard laughed. When Rodney looked up, Ronan was giving Shepard a look which eloquently said, Say nothing, you turned into a bug. Shepard only grinned wider, and the expression of happiness and relief on his face made Rodney's heart turn over.
Colonel, Shepard said, tapping his comm, any time now would be good.
There was a flash of white, just as he felt the ground give out below his feet, and then the instant of now familiar tingle stretch as they were demolecularized, and the bump as they remolecularized in a heap on the Daedalus's bridge. Rodney had Ronan's face in his knee and Taylor's head on his stomach, but Shepard's fingers were wrapped around his bicep, and Rodney thought that was a fair trade.
Colonel Shepard, Caldwell's voice was amused. I think I'm looking forward to reading this report.
Yes, sir. Shepard rolled to his feet, but kept his hand on Rodney long enough to help him up as well.
It'll be a doozy.
Rodney groaned as he rubbed his back. He was going to have bruises, damn it! And he really needed a shower. Possibly with Shepard. He caught Shepard looking at him and amended that.
Definitely with Shepard.
He smiled. 7 hours back to Atlantis, and then a shower, Shepard, bed, and a nice hot cup of...
Hang on, Rodney said, turning to Shepard. We can go back there once the flood's gone, right? I still didn't get my coffee.
The end.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you. right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea. Now you or the fish is happy as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy. They saw Thursday in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky. They in for a worse fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
yes, you go beyond the pay.
What though? Under the sea, under the sea. Nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee. We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea, we after hook. We got no troubles, life is the bubbles. Under the sea,
under the sea,
under the sea.
Under the sea.
Since life is sweet here, we got to be here
naturally.
Even the sturgeon and the ray, the earth start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it under the sea. The newt play the flute, the cop play the hop, the plays play the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass play the brass, the chub play the tub. The flute is the duke of soul. The lay he can play the lings on the strings, the chub rocking on the blackfish. He sings his belt and his rod, they know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow.
Yeah, we're lucky down in the muck here under the sea.